This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody, and praise the name of Jesus. It's Tuesday, and most folks are on their way back to work at this point. I hope your day yesterday was just absolutely wonderful. We've started a new series this week on the Apostle Peter. And we saw yesterday that wonderful story of his responding to Jesus, walking on the water by saying, "Me too, me too." And to our amazement, Jesus calls him to come, walk and dance above the waves. Peter was doing just fine so long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. The minute he took his eyes off of the Lord and looked at his circumstances, he was in big trouble. "Thou art Peter, and like a rock thou shalt sink." You know, over in Philippians chapter 4, Paul makes a comment. It's Paul who's making it, but it's really Peter's lesson. Philippians 4, verse 12, Paul says, "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret." I've learned the secret in any and all circumstances. The word circumstance comes from two Latin words, circum and stare, which mean to stand around, the things that are standing around you. What's going to be the focus of your attention? The Lord Jesus, or whatever it is that's standing around you? You look at your circumstances, you're likely to be in big trouble. You look at Jesus, and you'll dance above the waves. Praise God that Peter is a man in process, just as you are, just as I am. We all are in process. Somebody has well said, "Please be patient. God isn't finished with me yet." Aren't you glad? God isn't finished with you yet. And God hasn't finished with Peter. God has a real work to do in Peter. I commented yesterday that his name, his original name, Simon, means sandy or shifty or unstable. And that's exactly what he is at the beginning of the story. Peter is so quick to blurt something out. Invariably, it's the wrong thing. If it's possible to get your foot in your mouth, that's what Peter does. That's when he's Simon. But please be patient. God isn't finished with him yet. God is doing a work in Peter. And this shifty, unstable Simon is becoming, slowly, surely, finally, what Jesus calls him to be, a rock. A rock like unto the rock from which he's hewn. A rock like unto the rock who is the Lord Christ himself. A rock of encouragement, a rock of strength to his brethren. Well, I want to come to another very important vignette in the story of Peter. We turn over a couple of pages from where we were yesterday and come to Matthew 16. This is the story of Caesarea Philippi. And interestingly enough, that's the place where the Jordan River actually begins. It's at the foot of Mount Hermon, up in the northern part of ancient Israel or modern-day Israel. You just stop and think about that. That's sort of significant. Everything that the Jordan River becomes begins here. The Jordan, with all of its significance for holy history, has its headwaters here in Caesarea Philippi. And I don't think it's accidental that this episode takes place in that same spot, Caesarea Philippi. In a very real sense, this represents the headwaters of Jesus' ministry. Everything is moving up toward this point, and after it, nothing is the same again. You remember the story. Jesus begins by asking in verse 13, "Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples say, "Well, there's a variety of opinions. Some think that you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Some think that you're Elijah, who was taken up in a whirlwind into heaven, one of the two men in the Old Testament who never died. It was promised in the book of Malachi that before Messiah comes, Elijah will come back. Some think that you are he. Others think that you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets of old, somehow come back to earth." You were to ask the same question today, you'd get just as wide a variety of responses, maybe a good deal wider. "Well, some would say that you're a great teacher. You're a great moral example. Some would say that you're one of the best. You're right up there with Buddha and Confucius and Mohammed. Some would say you're a great humanist. Some would say that you're a window to God. But Jesus presses the point. He always does. Sooner or later, this Lord Jesus Christ looks deeply, searchingly into your eyes, into mine, into the eyes of every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth, and he says, yes, there are a variety of answers, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Well, it's Peter, as always, who jumps to the forefront, Peter who speaks up, and he says, we know. There isn't any question about it. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I said this is a pivot point in Jesus' ministry. Notice in verse 21, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and finally die. From that time, he began to show them. Apparently, he hadn't been talking about that up to this point. It's as if Jesus is saying, now that you see who I am, let me tell you what I've come to do. Peter gives the right answer. No doubt about it, and praise God for it. I want us, though, to notice four things about that answer, four things that Jesus says about it. The first is that it is the right answer, and that, in fact, it's from God. Peter didn't dream this up himself. Blessed are you, verse 17, Simon Barjona, Simon Johnson. Blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. If you gave the right answer to Jesus, please don't take credit for it. It was not a matter of your brilliance, your theological insight, the depth of your wisdom, your analytical powers, no. If you said, as your heart's response, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are the anointed one from God, you are in fact the Son of the living God, well then that just proves that God himself has been active in your life to show it to you. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You know, at another point Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I chose you. It is all his work from start to finish. The Father is the one who has shown this to you. And he goes on to say this, and this has surprised people and confused people for centuries. It's a very important statement. My Father in heaven has shown this to you, and I tell you, you are Peter. This is the point at which he changes his name. No longer Simon, now Peter. You are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. What is Jesus saying here? Many have taken it that he's saying, I'm going to build my church on you, Peter. You are Peter. The very word means rock. And upon you I'm going to build my church. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. St. Paul in Corinthians says that the church is founded upon Jesus Christ. It's founded on the apostles and prophets, but Jesus Christ is himself the chief cornerstone. When Peter addresses the same subject, he says, come to him, to that living stone rejected of men, but chosen by God to be the head of the corner. The church isn't built on Peter. The church is built upon the Lord Jesus himself, and Peter bears witness to it. But what is Jesus saying here? Actually, it's a play on words, and we miss it in English. He's saying, you are Petros, which means a small pebble, a small stone, and upon this Petra, this mighty boulder, this gigantic rock, I will build my church. Well, if it's not Peter, what's the rock? What's this gigantic boulder? I've already answered it. It's the Lord Jesus himself. But more particularly, notice this. You are Peter, and upon the rock of your confession, upon the thing which you have just said, upon the confession that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. Wherever men and women see that, wherever men and women confess that I am the Son of the living God, the Messiah sent from God, I'm going to be building my church there. You are Peter. You're a chip off the old block. you're like unto myself, to the extent that you see who I am. Peter, your insight is from God, and I'm going to build upon it. But the second thing we need to see is that though it's right, his answer is so incomplete. His understanding is so shallow, because Jesus goes on, as I've already noted, to begin from this time to teach his disciples that he's got to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. And as soon as he says that, what's Peter's response? Verse 22, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you. What a wonderful contradiction. God forbid, Lord. And yet how often do we, like Peter, operate on our own presuppositions? If he doesn't do it the way I think he's going to do it, then he can't do it at all. Jesus whirls around and speaks to this same one that he's just said is blessed by God, and he says, get behind me, you devil. You don't understand what I'm all about. Peter is given the right answer, but he doesn't understand its implications. Jesus is going to come to suffer and die, and that's the kind of Messiah he is. Notice, thirdly, that he says it's not only I who have to die, but you've got to take up your cross and follow me. You can just imagine Peter saying, wait, who said anything about that? I was talking about who you are. But you see, recognition involves following him, to know who he is. Inspired by God in the knowledge involves taking up our cross and following behind him. That's what Jesus is calling Peter to. That's what he's calling you and me to today. And fourthly, that's costly. That's costly. Jesus would call you this day to die to yourself. And that may be very difficult indeed. But the end is infinite reward. Christianity is not the religion of self-denial. It's the religion of self-fulfillment. But you got to get self out of the way first. He who would die to himself, the same will find his life, says Jesus. Those are the stakes, and that's the reward. So who do you say that this Jesus is? Do you see what Peter saw, inspired by God? And are you willing to follow that through to the end of the story? Eventually, Peter is. May you be. May I be also. Because that's the inside story.